incoming athletic director joining us. Tom, what's going on today? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How about you guys? You're out at the golf course today?
We are. We're inside, though, because Dave couldn't handle being out in the heat twice in one day.
That's not it.
Poor Dave.
how'd your concrete pour go? Did you get those guys straightened out?
Yeah, I got them lined up. You know, I went over there and just chewed some tail.
Yeah, okay, I've got that.
Been doing a lot of that, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? All right, I want to get one thing out of the way just real quickly on a quote you had recently. Why did you feel like you needed to make a quote regarding a media report that was made recently?
It was just wrong.
Okay.
I mean, so it was incorrect information, and we usually will not respond to information that gets out in the public that is incorrect. If it doesn't have an impact to on our program, and we felt like, well, this is kind of sending a message that Coach Bull is trying to pressure people into playing student athletes when they're not prepared to play or not healthy. And it's kind of the funny part is the strength conditioning staff doesn't have anything to do with who decides when they're ready to play football or basketball or any sport. It's all on the medical team.
I said on the air, and I was extremely critical of that outlet starting day before yesterday when that came out, that not just the information was wrong in it, but from a journalistic standpoint, the sourcing, and it was so thin, and one unidentified source wasn't even, you know, verified, or there was no nobody, you know, they couldn't get a second person to say anything. I just said, I don't understand how they could ever run this. I don't expect you to comment on it, Tom. I'm just telling that it was, you know, it was so poorly sourced and so poorly written that from a journalistic standpoint, not even counting what the content was.
Right.
Yep. Tom, as we move on, as the summer goes on, I mean, you know, I think we're all kind of in amazement at what kind of attention, even during the off season, is going on with the university. ESPN was there this week recently. You've had a lot of national sports outlets wanting to get a look at Josh Allen and come to Laramie and all that. For you, is this anything like you've seen before? And I'm guessing obviously not. And what's it been like for you as the guy who runs the athletic department to have this kind of attention?
Well, first off, I don't think UW has ever experienced this in our history. Even during the great run of Fennis Dembo when they were preseason top five in the country, just because media coverage is different.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I think you can compare it to. But it's been great. It's great for UW, and it's great for Josh. He's handling it perfectly. He's doing a really good job. But the good news is it's going to come to an end here. I mean, not completely shut off, like turning off a spigot, but it's going to slow down, and he can get locked back in on what's most important, and that's leading his football team. That's where, and I feel good from what I've seen, I've watched, I've listened closely and talking to people that are working with him. He is staying grounded. He's not letting it get to him. But it's an exposure for the state and the university that we could never pay for. I mean, you know, to have ESPN here yesterday, they're doing a long, deep dive into Josh Allen, and they are going to air this story, whether it's on game day in Laramie or game day somewhere else, in front of tens of millions of people, and that's a big deal for the University of Wyoming and our state.
Okay, so what are the best chances for Wyoming to get game day in Laramie? At which game, and what needs to happen, and have there been talks about it with you guys?
Well, there's never been, they have not even responded to our overtures, but we have made overtures to them that we want to host game day on Oregon. And I think in being realistic, it's going to require that we knock off Iowa. If we knock off Iowa, to me, it's the best story in college football. There's some great games that day. If you look at the third week of the season when we host Oregon, Texas and SC play, I think it's in Austin. There's a big SEC game, so there's some really good football games. But those games happen every year, and they happen, I won't say every week, but there's a big national top 10 game almost every week in college football. This is a story. This is different. This is a kid that no one's ever heard of, who obviously, for us to beat Iowa and beat Gardner-Webb, but especially Iowa, he would have had to play great. He's probably raising his profile the first 2 weeks of the season. We've got a football team that is coming off a very good year in 2016, went on the road and beat a very good football team in 2017. There's a story brewing here. And I think that we are trying to make the argument to them is this is unique. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm biased. I think it's a great story if it happens. And hopefully we can be in that position. If we don't beat Iowa, I don't think it's the only way it would probably happen is later in the year. If we went on a great run, were 9-1, and somebody else in our conference was 9-1, and we were the top two teams not playing, top two teams in the group of five level who aren't playing for a national championship game, maybe there's an opportunity we could host it, but highly unlikely.
Well, I think also, Tom, part of it we have not talked about is great for the University of Wyoming and what's going on there, but ESPN. Had kind of a nice love affair with Coach Bowl when he was at North Dakota State because they went up there a couple of times. And this is sort of a continuation of that, the success he had there. Now, the success at Wyoming makes it even a better story.
Yep, exactly right. I think it adds to the whole story, no doubt about it.
Wyoming Athletic Director Tom Berman joining us here on the Sports Zone. Tom, I mean, a lot of football to be talked about, but I saw this story about the NCAA Tournament Committee emphasizing quality road wins now. I'm wondering how much you kind of looked into that and read about that, and going away from RPI a little bit, does this help, the non-Power 5 schools at all, or is this more geared toward the Power 5 schools in terms of getting quality road wins and having that emphasized?
I haven't even read the article, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Two things I think are going on. One is the RPI is being, it's still going to be an element, as far as I understand, that the NCAA committee is going to use to review teams, but it won't be a focus point. Quality road wins, if you look at what happened last year to Syracuse, if you remember, Syracuse in basketball, is a brand of national notoriety. I mean, it's probably one of the top 10 brands in basketball. But they did not beat anybody on the road. And they had some bad losses on the road. And it kept them out of the tournament. And that would not have happened in years past. So I think there is a push to figure out how do we recognize quality road wins and how do we promote getting people to go on the road to play each other. Now, the initial thought would be, well, maybe that'll help Wyoming get quality games. I'm not sure I'm gonna jump to that conclusion yet because I want to see how they go get quality road wins. There is a lot of talk about conferences, and I think this is the right thing. I think conferences should play everybody twice, and there's a bunch of leagues that don't do that, and there are some leagues that are moving to 20 game schedules. That's not going to help the Mountain West as we try to secure non-conference road game or home games if the big leagues are playing more conference games. But I do think that's the right way to go. I've been an advocate in our league. I think we should play everybody, and we should play 20 conference games. We play 18. I don't understand why we do that. We all struggle to play quality opponents. We all struggle with quality games. This is two games on our schedule. We're passing on. I don't know why we do that.
Tom, a story out that the Southeast Conference is considering going to a 14-game football season. Just your thoughts on that. Two more games, you're playing the same schedule as the pros are playing.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure they're talking about a 14-game schedule. I think they're talking about a 14-week season with two byes.
Okay, adding a bye.
Adding a bye, because right there, the way the calendars fall, there are seasons we have on the calendar where we only have one bye in the schedule, and that's becoming an issue for the players. And as you can tell, a lot of what's leading college football right now is what's best for student athletes. So there's talk about playing a 14-week season. But all we'd be doing is adding another bye.
Okay.
So I don't think they'll. I would be shocked if they added games in the current landscape, which basically is We're going to do more to protect kids and less and take time away from them, give them more time to be college students.
Tom, we had Peter Prigge on talking about the story that Scott Knowles had in the Wyoming Tribune Eagle on the insurance policy with John. I found it really fascinating. I think that's an interesting story and a smart decision by Josh, his family, and the University of Wyoming to really look into this to, you know, get the well-being of this. It was just a couple days ago that we talked to him, but very interesting, I thought, and something that, again, is new for the University of Wyoming, right?
New for the Mountain West.
And the Mountain West.
What happened was, I'd say in April, we start hearing all the scuttle that Josh may be after he came agreed that he was going to come back to school and not put his name in the draft, it became pretty clear to us he's got to be in one of the top 10 players coming out, or he wouldn't have taken this kind of time to look into this. So we did some homework, and when I was in my spring meetings with the ADs, I said, "Oh, Boise, you guys have been through this. Have you ever done this?" "Nope, never." "Colorado State, you ever done it?" "Nope, never." So. Boise had done a small insurance policy a few years ago for, I think it was for Webb, the basketball player, but minuscule little deal to get him to return. And so nobody really knew what we were looking into doing. And it's a very costly situation. I don't know if Peter told you, when it's all said and done, the University of Wyoming is going to have to come up with $40,000 to cover the cost of this insurance policy. But we're at 9,300 plus season tickets in the middle of July. We're probably 2,000 season tickets ahead of where we were last year at this time, maybe 2,500. So we're going to get our money back. I'm not worried about that. And it's the right thing to do. But we're not going to get in the habit of doing this for all players.
Right.
Well, you've got to be truly a special athlete that has a chance to being a top five pick.
You've gotten all this publicity about Josh going on the watch list, and you got all the people picking him on all the different websites and all the different places where they're saying he's the top one or he's the top three or whatever. Now you got Andrew Wingert on a bunch of watch sites, so you're getting a lot of publicity. But I noticed this week that you actually finished first in one of the categories for the NCAA on NCAA.com when they named War Memorial Stadium's field as the most beautiful field in all of college football. So there's a feather in your hat. You're number one in something.
You're saying that tongue-in-cheek, but I'm proud of that.
No, I'm not saying it tongue-in-cheek.
I thought it was tongue-in-cheek, too, Tom.
Would I do that to you, Tom?
Absolutely.
No, absolutely you would. I thought that was great. I love our field. And we're, the one thing I didn't like, I got to be honest with you, I loved being first. But Vegas was second. Come on.
Oh, no, that's a butt-ugly field. I'm sorry. They screwed that one up.
I'm with you.
You know what the worst part of this is? Number five? That's my wife's alma mater. She even thinks that field's butt-ugly.
So what are we saying here?
Yeah. Well, just wait until Vegas slaps that new logo on that field, and then they'll go down the rankings.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, one more before we let you go. I know when we talked before the Mountain West meetings and all that, the last time we had you on, we talked about, getting kickoffs earlier and all that kind of stuff and exploring different options in terms of viewing games and stuff. Was there any talk about any of that during the Mountain West meetings? And if so, what was kind of discussed, if you could tell us?
Lots of talk. I would say we are still under contract with CBS and ESPN for three more years.
Okay.
So we got a long way to go. But the issue is we've got to, as a group, understand what our priorities are. And there's still a little bit of give and take on that. I mean, the University of Wyoming's priorities regarding game times are probably different than San Diego State's, as I've said in the past. We got to come to some sort of consensus on how important control of game times is. But I do think that it's the discussion in the league has definitely changed in recent years. And getting some control, even if it means losing a little bit of our traditional over-the-air broadcasting and maybe having to go to more of a digital opportunity, is something that will be deeply looked into and discussed. Because it doesn't work for a handful of us to play a whole bunch of games at 8:30 at night.
Just a quick personal note. I don't know how much you had to do with it, okay? But I want to thank the University and Learfield for allowing us to start streaming the games this year for, you know, where we've had to black them out in the past,
right?
Because that has been a real bone of contention with a lot of the listeners that live outside the area that listen to us on, you know, regular basis. They want to hear Dave and Kevin, and they're used to tuning in to, you know, pick it up online from the radio stations around the state, and we couldn't stream, and this year we'll be able to start streaming all the games, football and men's and women's basketball, so that's a great advantage for us.
That's a Learfield decision, and they're being more flexible than they have in the past, which is good for everybody.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate your time.
Hey, guys, enjoy your day, and hope summer's treating you well.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We'll talk
soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.